Hi, everybody. Welcome to the West Hall Society's podcast. Thanks for listening to us today. We are here once again with Tony Green. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hi, Donovan. I'm fabulous. How are you?
I am, too. I'm fabulous. So we're just talking today about some ongoing issues in the area of West Hollow. And by the way, if you have anything you'd like us to discuss on the podcast, please email me at Donovan, D-O-N-O-V-A-N, at westhollowsociety.org. So, Tony, what's going on with you? What did you want to discuss today on the podcast?
Well, several issues have come up in the Webb Royal area concerning drugs, more drugs.
Again? Wow.
And I've actually talked to detectives and turned in some places that I suspected might have some issues, and they knew about it already. So that leads me to understand that they are around, they know what's going on. I know it takes a long time to resolve everything. But in one of the neighborhoods I talked about last time, where the lady flagged us down when I was on a VIP patrol because kids were doing drugs in the back of her alley.
Right.
At 5 o'clock when she left for work.
Wow.
Last week, one of the VIP members called me and said she saw a SWAT team going down Cattimore towards Channel and then back up on Rattan, which is the whole same area where the little drug was.
Wow.
And the guy that I saw with the rolled cigarette that was just sitting casually on the street. And from what I read on the internet, Irving was involved. In fact, the date of the offense started days before in Irving and ended up over here in this neighborhood, and they were manufacturing and delivering Penal Code 1 drugs.
Oh, my gosh.
And when you go on the internet and look that up, there's a whole list of chemical names, and I don't know what they are, probably at the meth level. And so it's kind of scary to, you know, somebody in the neighborhood has got to know, you know, that that's going on, because I understand what meth houses, don't they have a big smell?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, yeah.
And so I did, when I got over there, I was watching, and they wouldn't let us get too close, but they were hauling off a suspect, you know, that was handcuffed. So I don't know how long that investigation took.
Yeah.
But they were on it. And it was kind of scary to see. I watch Dallas SWAT on television almost every day, and it's kind of scary to see it in operation. But these guys are on top of everything. They're out there. They know what's going on.
Good.
And of course, anybody who knows anything that's suspicious at all needs to call the police and get connected with a detective, or go to your Crime Watch group and have them send a message over and share the information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's crazy. Wow.
It is crazy. Now, you do know that Rio Grande Latin Market is fixing to open in the Webb Royal Shopping Center soon.
Is that where the Minyards was before?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very close. I spoke to the security guard the other night. They've had a problem with the homeless people over there, and she calls the police and they haul them off. But a officer told me Saturday that unfortunately the crime is moving east. And I happen to live east of where the crime is.
Yes.
So we should all be aware of our surroundings when we're shopping. Aldi's
Absolutely.
Up there at Forest and Webb's Chapel even had the cop in the sky
Yeah, those things.
Machine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were watching up there, and Aldi's has a policeman inside the store occasionally. I guess he's not watching the outside. He's only for the inside.
Yeah.
So don't feel safe because he's inside.
Yeah.
But I did notice over there at Rio Grande, some cameras have increased some of the lighting. She did not know if she was going to be kept on duty or not, or if they were going to relieve her once the store, you know, was open. So that remains to be seen. But I do know that south of us, down at where Fiesta and Carnival and Webb's Chapel Extension are, mm-hmm. the police have a new program where in high crime areas, and that's a high crime area because a lot of them have their checks, they go cash them, they wire money home, they go shopping, they have cash in their pockets. So it's a huge area for theft. The police take 1 hour of their time, of their shift, and have to walk it on foot.
Wow.
In those high crime areas.
Wow. They go in the alleys and like that kind of thing and behind the stores.
Just the parking
and stuff.
Lots and around the stores. Yeah. They walk. Of course, it's on TV. They showed them walking into the retail stores, introducing themselves. But
wow.
They've got to be watching the parking lots and seeing what's going on. And they're looking for characters.
Sure.
They know kind of what they're looking for. And so they are doing that program because they said that they cannot continue to do what they've been doing. They have to start something new. Now, I did go to a police meeting last week and learned some very interesting things. The police have a program concerning prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that the lowest level of a prostitute is at truck stops. And he said that they know nationwide there's like 400 serial killers that are truck drivers.
Yeah, that's so, yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yes. And so they have started a program. They started a program where they would partner up with the prostitutes. And the deal was if they were willing, they would take them off the streets
mm-hmm.
into a program, not a jail, not a halfway house, where they would retrain them and get them acclimated to go back into the real world. And
yeah.
I think it's sort of a lengthy, you know, several months plan.
Uh-huh.
And it was so popular and successful that other police departments nationwide have picked it up.
Good. So are they doing that here? And
yes, they're trying. They're trying so many things.
And the prostitutes in this area are over by Harry Hines or whatever, I guess, or where are they exactly?
Dennis Road,
that's right.
Yeah. Royal and Dennis Road.
Yeah.
They have cracked down on them. I try to make it a point to drive in that area when I'm going someplace just to check the pulse of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I do that at all times of the, you know, day or night when I'm actually out running around. The C-Store, which I know a lot of people may not be aware of, is slowly cleaning up. They still have the cameras. They still are making arrests every day, but I drive by and I still see drug runners
mm-hmm.
that have their brand new white shoes on standing there, and they play dumb, you know, when you say, look, we don't want you here, but you should know you're on camera.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you talking about, man? You know, they're stupid.
Yeah.
So let them get arrested. But it has calmed down, you know, somewhat compared to what it used to be.
Good.
Yeah, that is good. They're really trying hard. Also, in that program that I went to, they talked about the homeless people in the city of Dallas. Now, we have a homeless problem over here, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is not West Hollow, but it was Walnut Hill and whatever that side street, Monroe, I think it was. I saw a homeless person sleeping, you know, one of the retail shops.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, broad daylight, taking a nap. And I've been over there before and seen an ambulance trying to revive somebody. So they're all around. I know that's just the other side of West Hollow, but,
yeah,
you know, it's relative still, because what's over there comes up to our
course,
area.
Of course, yes, of course, yes.
And but the homeless, you know, they're trying to, they're breaking down Tent City, and they think that's the thing to do, and they're moving them to places for them to live for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, and I said, where are you moving them to? Halfway houses where you've got 14 people living in a 1,400-square-foot house and the charge of the residents, if they have income, $600 a month.
Right.
Plus whatever for water.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, they actually are building individual housing for them, little small houses.
Where is this?
Well, I don't know where. He didn't say, and I've read about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somewhere on the internet. But they're building these small houses somewhere in Dallas for the homeless. They figure that they give them shelter. They can control. I don't want to say control. That came out wrong. They can work with them better. They're these people don't want to be around other people. They want to be alone. And this way it causes less trouble, less fights.
I did see something about that. It was in South Dallas, and they were brand new, these little tiny houses or whatever. And I knew there was something about that, but I didn't think it was over here. But yeah, I did hear about that. That's a great program.
That's what they're doing. And then we heard, we asked about the panhandlers.
Yeah.
And there's a ring of panhandlers, and they said that every day they have a paddy wagon. I haven't heard that term in forever. A paddy wagon drives up and down 35 picking up panhandlers.
I believe it.
It's great for the panhandlers because it gets them off the street for a day.
Sure.
They get a shower, they get a hot meal, they get a pillow, they get a blanket, and they put back on the streets. And no sooner does a paddy wagon move out, there's another panhandler right before them, you know, behind them.
Oh, yeah.
Taking over that corner.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
It's pretty funny stuff. But again, they're trying to work and clean up the neighborhoods, and there's just so much of it. There's so much of it. And I got an email from Jennifer Gates. I'm sure you got the same thing, where she's not going to be at the meeting about the, chapter 37 of code. Did you get that email?
No. What about 37?
Oh, I'm trying to remember what it was about. She can't come, by the way. She has a conflict because of Preston Center.
Uh-huh.
Bridge to the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
It was so long. I was only reading what the city... It has something to do with housing.
Okay.
What the city had said, yes, they were for, and what they weren't for, and they never got down to the guts of the code because it's like really big.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that stuck in my mind was if the land the landlord of the property doesn't want to spend the money to upgrade or to repair the air conditioners, like the window units,
yeah,
they are permitted to take those out and put up screens on the windows.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, but it gets to be 100 degrees.
How are you going to live in that? Yeah, that makes no sense
to me. Then they had a limit. They had a max temperature that could be in the house.
Well, how are they going to regulate that, though?
Huh?
How are they going to regulate that?
Well, that was some of the discussion. How are they going to regulate it? Well, you know, people that live there call and complain.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay? But the max temperature the inside can be is 80 degrees. Can you imagine living inside with fans at 80 degrees?
80 degrees is very hot inside a house with stuffy, no windows open. That's very hot. Yes.
And so I'm like thinking, you're going to have illnesses and people having heart attacks and sunstroke.
Dying. Yes, exactly.
Falling over.
Yeah.
So it whatever.
But whose idea was this? Whose idea was
whatever
this?
Whatever this is, I'll send you an email. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Everybody should call their city council lady
person.
And ask about it.
Yeah.
About the... meeting on the, I believe it's the, sometime in the next couple of weeks in May.
Okay.
And Jennifer Gates can't go to it. They call Gates's office and ask them for a copy of whatever that is, because it's worth reading. And if you go into the City of Dallas website and you go to the code page, not only does it have some good examples of code violations, but it has a whole section on boarding houses.
Mm-hmm.
Which we discussed last time.
We did, yes.
We call them halfway houses. They call them boarding
mm-hmm,
houses.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, a couple of days ago, I can only believe and surmise that this man came to one of those places, but we don't know for sure. But one of our residents at 7:30 in the morning was walking her dog down there on either Chapel Downs or Timberviews, which is like Walnut Hill and Webb's Chapel.
Yeah.
And a man came up very nicely dressed. Blue shirt, nice slacks, nice shoes. And he was taking pictures with a flip phone
mm-hmm.
of driveways and houses. And he and then when he saw her coming up, he pulled a knife out of his pocket and said, If your dog comes at me, I'm going to slash his throat.
Wow.
So then, I don't know if he took a picture of her or not, but when she tried to take a picture of him, he quickly ran away. And the interesting thing was the police did somehow catch up with him and question him. They did not take him in,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know why, because he pulled a knife, and I don't know if the blade was open or not, but he pulled a knife on a resident. And the residents in this area for the next hour or so tracked that man from Walnut Hill up to Royal, up to Forest. He went west over to the Office Depot at Josie and Forest, and
yes.
then he walked from the Office Depot, the QT filling station.
Yeah.
Going east. And the police caught up him there and questioned him. Wow. And I said, good job, neighbors, in following him and keeping track of where this man was.
Yes.
And he said he walked very quickly, very fast.
Well, of course.
Which
yes.
sometimes walkers do.
Yeah.
But we're perplexed as to why he wasn't arrested. They never tell you anything. They never give any resolution.
They just question them. And then if there was no cause, they couldn't take him, I guess, right?
Right. And yeah. so they always give a report number. I use spotcrime.com, I think it is, mm-hmm. to get my reports. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I watch live police reports on TV, on the internet.
Yeah.
And as they come through, they pop up on the screen. But it's, anyway, they give you a report number on spotcrime.com. And I guess you can go down and pay for that and get a copy of it.
Well, that's crazy. So we don't know if he was just questioned and released. That's all we know.
We don't know. And I'm going to try and get David Kim, our NPO, mm-hmm. to find out what happened. Because
wow.
that's freaky that he gets he doesn't get arrested,
right.
yet he's a threat.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
And I'm just thinking that perhaps.
Well, I was actually told, I've been actually told by the police when we had an incident years ago at my house, I told you last time with a man who came into our yard and urinated or whatever, and we had him on camera, yeah. and we had him on camera, and we showed the guy, the guy on camera. I knew where to find him because he was an employee of a company, and he had the uniform on. The cop came out and took our report, but he said, "Oh well, if we don't catch them in the act, we can't do anything." I'm like, what do you mean you can't do anything? He's on camera. We have proof of it. You see him doing it here, trespassing and urinating on our property, yet you can't do anything about it. I can tell you where to find him. You can call the number, da da da. No, we can't do anything unless we have we see them in the act. So have you ever heard that before?
No.
I thought
it's
maybe.
It's very interesting to me. The police told me. I was at a Ronald McDonald. I think I discussed this last month. Mm-hmm. A Ronald McDonald volunteer appreciation dinner, and one of the people at our table was a policeman.
Yes.
And we were talking about security issues because we've had a rash of crimes over here in this part. And he said that everybody should get security systems and mm-hmm. if they can, camera systems. Mm-hmm. And he said that they can use the footage from the camera systems in court.
Thank you. I know that. And
yeah.
that's what we were like, so like, what are you talking about? I think he just didn't want to do the paperwork first, basically. But
did you go to Ms. Gates and complain?
No, I wouldn't go to Ms. Gates to complain about anything.
Well, did you go to Chief Brown and complain?
Yeah, this was years ago. No, we didn't complain to anyone. We didn't complain to anyone because it wasn't that big a deal.
All I can say is this.
Yeah.
We all pay taxes.
Yeah, I know that.
And these city employees work for us.
Yes, you're right.
Because of that, where there's something valid and something's mm-hmm. not kosher, mm-hmm. we should not hesitate to write a letter and mail it to the chief of police.
Yeah.
And let them know what's going on. You know, they're like little kings and queens up in the sky,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the top of the hill in their castles.
Well, I always do and always have. That's just one instance when we didn't, because it wasn't that huge of a deal. I just was pissed that they wouldn't do anything about it. But
well, what happens if you went over there and pooped or was sleeping over there?
Oh, I know. It just didn't make any sense to me, and we didn't buy his reasoning. That's what I'm saying. And it didn't make sense that you can't use footage because I knew, as you said, it's admissible in court, obviously. So it didn't make sense that he couldn't use the footage. So we just thought it was odd. But anyway, I was just going to say the guy that was walking down the street or whatever, and the knife wielding guy or whatever. I thought maybe they just didn't catch him doing anything. He was reported as doing something, but maybe they didn't see him do anything that they could arrest him for doing. You know,
How do you report a crime?
Right.
You know, they can't be there to like
all
the time. The time that I got chased a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And we followed him back to the motel, and they flashed a gun and everything, and took off. And then we called the police. You know, mm-hmm. That happened to be flashing the gun was not on camera, but the rest of it was on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to take our word about the guy flashing a gun.
Right.
And that they and he took off so they couldn't question him, but they knew who he was. But anyway, I don't know how they know. I don't know how all this works. I just around it.
Well, interestingly, we had today, I don't know if you can see these alerts, but we had an alert from a neighbor in Park Forest, an urgent alert. Her name is Marcy, and she had actually reported seeing. She walked out her back door, and she lives on St. Cloud Circle, and she found a man. She said with weapons in both hands. I don't know if they were guns or whatever in her backyard. She said he has on khaki shorts to his knees, a white T-shirt, and a ball cap. He walked away after I ran back in, headed toward Cromwell. He turned toward Forrest. I watched him while on St. Cloud, and he made a phone call. A white pickup raced down St. Cloud shortly after. I assumed to pick him up. His tag is F as in Frank, V as in Victor, C as in Carl, 6623. And if you or a neighbor know about this, please let us know. If you see this car or need this man, please let us know or call the cops, call 911, as she did. And they came out and they took a report. So be sure anytime you do see something that you report it. But it's just quite scary to think about walking in your backyard and someone's just standing there. And that's just bizarre to me.
Yes, I mean, he could have shot her.
Well, of course, anything he could have done. And this is why, and I've said this last time, I think, as well, but I mean, I'd certainly, say that you should definitely keep your back gates and back fences, if you have them, locked at all times, if you're home or not, and if you don't have someone needing to come in there or whatever, because this is why. Of course, you can always scale a fence, depending on how high it is, of course, as well, but I think it helps to deter this type of thing. But anyway, and also if you have cameras, if she had had cameras, we would have been able to see the man, and we would have been able to, as you said, you know, give it to the police, and they could have possibly had a description and put that out there.
Well, that's another good reason to walk around every time wherever you go with your telephone in your hand.
Yes, absolutely.
And also, if you've got any personal protection, I know this sounds silly, but he could have hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a mace thing on my key ring.
Yeah.
That does, I don't know, that's not mace, it's some kind of electrical volt thing where it gives them like 8 million volts of whatever it is, which is supposed to at least stun them pretty good. You know, and if you have that with you, but it seems kind of silly in your own backyard, you have to do that.
Yeah, but that's the world we live in today, unfortunately.
Last Saturday, I have a new garage door opener that you can set it to close automatically 1 minute, 5 minutes, or 10 minutes.
Yes.
And something happened, and it's not closing right away, and I'm too lazy to go find it. The book is buried in the stack of stuff, and I'm always in such a hurry. And last Saturday, I rushed in the house to do something, meaning to rush right out. And I started talking to Wayne, and I got sidetracked, naturally. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I hear is a knock on the door. It was my neighbor saying, I know you're with crime and safety and the police. He said, there's a black man in the alley.
Uh-oh.
And he says, I questioned him, and he said he was there to meet somebody. But nobody in the neighborhood was hiring anybody. And so I rushed out thinking it might be this one guy I've been watching down the street.
Yeah.
And he had a tank top on. I haven't gotten his picture yet, but I think that he saw my garage door being open and was looking to break in to see what he could get. And there's really not anything good in there except a lawnmower.
Yes.
You know, that he can honk for whatever he honks for.
Exactly, yeah.
And the wheel's broken anyway, so let him have it. But we have to be careful and not do what I did, which was, oh, I'll be out in just a minute. Well, a minute can turn to 10 before you realize it.
Right, exactly.
And even it was luckily it was a Saturday, and we're all out, you know, in the alleys about that time. So again, people should be very cautious, and they've got to be careful about putting their windows down when they're stopped at stop lights, because people have been known to come up and put a gun in their head, head and say, "Give me your purse,
horrible,
or wallet."
So horrible! It's so horrible.
It is horrible. But if we're all conscious, aware, and protect ourselves by being aware, then we're not going to be as much of a victim as if we weren't paying attention. But that poor Marcy, she did everything right.
Yes.
She did next door emergency alert. Mm-hmm. That was right, because everybody can start looking for this guy.
Yeah,
and she called the police, and they'll be looking for him also. They'll put an all points bulletin out to look for this truck.
Mm-hmm.
And if the license, by the way, this is what they're doing. The guy that chased me, I took his license tag down, which is what caused the whole trouble. And we ran the tags, and they were from Avis Rent-A-Car. So either the tags were stolen and/or the car was stolen.
Oh my gosh!
So what they're doing is they're stealing tags and putting, you know, wrong
switching
tags
them
on
out.
Vehicles
yeah.
So they can't be tracked.
Sure.
And last Friday, a week ago, last Friday, I was going down Harry Hines around UT Southwestern, and I noticed a two-tone Mercury with paper tags.
Yes.
And I was looking at the car thinking, wow, I haven't seen a car like that in a long time. And then we were coming to a red light, and we stopped. Well, there was another car in the lane further over that was a black Mustang, I believe it was. He was on the other side of the red light. He stopped in the middle of the street, opened his car door. The Mercury I was watching sped through the stoplight and went up to the guy that had his door open. And I missed the actual pass-off of the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure they passed drugs back and forth. And the different thing about it was, instead of each one of them going right and left and dispersing from the area, they followed each other down to Parkland and turned right on Medical Parkway or whatever that is, went towards Stemmons.
Wow.
I was trying to take a picture of them, actually. That's why I failed. My camera wouldn't work. But you got to be careful when you take a picture, because if they see you, they're liable to try and take you out.
Absolutely.
They gotta Absolutely. Be, you have to be very cautious.
Yeah, you shouldn't engage anyone at all. You should not engage anyone. You should just report,
never
I guess.
Confront. Yeah. Never, 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 never.
Absolutely.
I speak from experience.
I know. I know. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about was, I don't know if this has affected you at all, but everyone seems to be going nuts over their appraisal this year. It seems every year everyone goes nuts over their appraisal of their homes. But this year, it seems the taxes have gone up considerably. Wow. And I think that people are under a misunderstanding about why their taxes go up. A lot of times people think, well, their property taxes go up because they're paying their property taxes based on what their taxes are on their house, whatever. Yeah, but the truth is the property taxes actually are determined by the city council. And what I mean by that is the tax rate in the city, which funds our, you know, our schools, and it's done by the city council, the school boards, and the county commissioner's court. They all determine our tax rate, and then, of course, our homes, values or whatever, multiplied by the tax rate, and that's what we pay. So you really need to remember that your taxes go up because of the people that you're putting in office, whether it's city council or school board or the county commissioner's court. So when you're voting on people, remember to, first of all, keep that in mind. And secondly, to keep them accountable for raising our taxes all the time and getting very little for it, really. I mean, excuse me, our taxes seem to be going up, 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 but we're not really getting a lot in return. Obviously, the streets is the number one issue for most people, and crime is the number one issue for people. We have a lot of number one issues. So I'm just wondering, do you think that, I mean, are you aware that, you know, that you need to complain to your city council representatives about yeah. this and not really, it's not really the tax people that do it? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, I think that anytime anything like this happens, we should be in communication. And the more we communicate with our city council representatives and the mayor, then the more aware they are that we're aware, and they'll watch their P's and Q's.
Right.
Because right, they think that we're not watching, mm-hmm. and they can do anything they want to do. And I'm not speaking specifically about any one person up there.
Right.
I'm really not. But it's Congress is the same way, and the state of representatives in Texas, all of them, mm-hmm. think they can get away with murder because nobody's watching them except for these watch groups.
Right.
And when they need to know we're all involved, and right. not just a committee that we've hired to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to write their congressmen and city representatives. So, yes, they do need to go to their city council person about those appraisals and complain that they're too high because we're not getting any services.
No, you we're know, not.
These houses up here are so expensive, and they just keep rising and rising in mm-hmm. price, you know, in value.
Yes.
I was down at the VA yesterday, mm-hmm. down on South Oak Cliff off Lancaster Avenue or Boulevard, whatever it is, and we cut through the neighborhoods to go back to 35 to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know their streets are better in those neighborhoods than we've got up here?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, and it's not that they don't have any traffic back there, because
no.
they have lots of traffic.
No.
And so it's amazing that those little houses, and God love them, mm-hmm. they're poor people, I know.
Yeah.
But God love them. You know, they've got better streets than we do.
Well, you know, one reason that is because something else I wanted to address is that apparently Dallas is taking, you know, concrete is much longer wearing and lasting than asphalt. Unfortunately, they're taking asphalt and they're pouring it over, even though they're redoing the streets in some areas, they're completely pouring over the concrete with asphalt. Now, asphalt does not last as long or wear as well as concrete does. Concrete will last, you know, hundreds of years. I mean, it can if you keep repairing it. But the asphalt, you know, it's probably got a lifespan of maybe 10 to 15, 20 years, depending on how it's maintained. So it's been an issue. And so in that area of Dallas, what you're talking about, and where was it again you were mentioning? Where is it exactly?
South Dallas,
VA,
you know, where 35 splits to
Waco, and to go to Waco and all that.
You go to Waco one way,
yeah.
and you go down to DeSoto the other way,
yeah.
whatever. 67.
67, yes.
35 split.
Yeah.
It's to the left. It's east of there.
They probably...
Lancaster runs parallel.
Yeah, and they probably have concrete there, I assume. More concrete
yes,
than...
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
but
and that's one reason why.
I've always wondered, just in the fairness of the city, is exactly... What are the future plans of these street areas that we don't know about? That maybe the asphalt lasts just enough time to the next time they're going to come through and do drainage work or do pipes or whatever they do.
Well, the problem with that is that's just a waste of money. I mean, of course, I understand you're saying between concrete, which is actually cheaper. It's cheaper in bulk to buy concrete than it is to do asphalt. So people don't realize that. But anyway, so because of the fact that it's cheaper to do concrete, it makes more sense to just go ahead and do concrete anyway. So I don't think that that's their plan at all. I think their plan is just to use asphalt because it's cheaper. It just irritates me because, I mean, I'm glad that some people are getting their streets redone. That's good. That's wonderful where they're being redone for whatever reason, typically because of pipes bursting or gas lines need to be replaced or whatever. But whatever the reason, it's great. The problem is that we're going to be in the same position in 10, 15 years with bad deteriorating streets if they're not maintained well. So I just think it's a bad decision. And I think that our city does that quite a lot. They make bad, poor financial decisions. One of the things they're trying to do now also is they're considering going on a pay-as-you-go type of a thing in Dallas because Dallas is in so much debt. Instead of getting more bonds or getting more loans or whatever, they're trying to pay for streets and everything else. They're thinking about just paying for things as you go. And that's completely ludicrous because we don't have enough money as it is, much less do we have enough money to actually do everything we need to do with what we have in our coffers right now. So we're going to have to raise tax. They're going to have to raise taxes again. They're going to have to charge us more money, And I'm just concerned because we don't seem, as you said, to be getting anything for our money. It's the same thing I hear from everyone. This is why I'm upset with our city council members that we have, because I understand there's not so much they can do, and that's true. But the bottom line to me rests really with the city manager. And the city manager is the one who helps to devise the budget and doles out the money and the budgets for everyone else in every district. So do you think that we should possibly replace our city manager or somehow look into getting him accountable or her accountable for what's going on in the city? Because really, they're the one to blame.
He does need to be accountable.
Pardon me?
He does need to be accountable.
Yes. And I think that that's not the case. I think a lot of people, oh, it's the city council people, and it is to an extent, of course. But it's really the budgets come down from the city manager, who's paid, you know, close to $300,000 a year. And seems very uninterested in the issues that the city, you know, peoples presents to him. But whatever. Anyway, so I just wanted to talk about that because I think it's important that people do realize that it's not only, you know, the tax entities who raise your, it's not, you know, the appraisal district that raises your taxes. It is that they base that off of the tax rates, which are determined, as I said, by city councils and school boards and county commissioners' courts. So you need to hold them accountable and you need to write to them. You need to email them. You need to go up there and visit with them. You need to do that so that these things will be actually addressed and we stop paying too many taxes for too few services. So that's what I wanted to say.
You and I have been up to city council offices before.
Yes, we have.
And each city council representative has two people working for them, mm-hmm. an executive secretary and administrative assistant.
Right.
And when you go up there and it's very nice and the lighting's good and there's nice clean furniture and there's nothing on their desk. So what would happen if all of a sudden neighborhoods started taking these issues and started just rounding up, you know, sending all these letters in mm-hmm. and overloading them.
Right.
And the city manager and the mayor.
Right.
All of them. Do they have to answer us back? Do they have to respond to all of our emails?
I don't think they have to just because it's so many, but they should, of course. Yes. And we tried that last year with a 311 blitz when we had issues with streets and things like that.
Yeah.
And we did that. And of course there was absolutely no response really from them about that. Even though we had probably, I'd say probably 30 people participated and everybody, you know, put a separate request for different things in their neighborhood. And that's a lot of different requests. It's probably, you know, plus 100 requests or whatever that one day. And so and some of them were the same, of course. And so nobody really responded to them. Some got responses, just the canned responses you get on the email or whatever, but no one ever called these people, no one ever called us or anything. So I really don't think that that's going to make a difference, but I think it's a great idea, and I think it's worth trying. I think we wrote letters, like you said, and actually went up there. People went up there as a group or something. It would make a difference, yeah.
Wow. Well, I tried a different approach. Being the interim president of Crime Watch for Web Royal, I was at the police station Saturday for VIP training, and I spoke to one of the code people that comes to our meetings every quarter or whenever we have them, every 2 months. And I complimented her right and left, and she always comes to our Crime Watch meetings. I said, you know, I'm not trying to get in your business, but are you paid for this? Are you paid overtime? And she went, no, we're not. And, you know, from the other code lady that used to come, we found out that they go to all these meetings and they get nothing back for it. Yes, they're salaried individuals, which means they supposedly get an extra amount of money. But this is not their job duty to go to meetings and report to us and tell us about things. And so what we should do is be writing our city council representatives and the mayor and the mayor pro tem that, we need more code people, and we need to have a volunteer code organization that can do the easy things like use Dallas 311, send in a picture of maybe high grass and weeds or peeling paint, the simple things, and then go back 30 days later, take another picture and submit it to code and said, yes, it's been fixed, and no, it hasn't been fixed. And if it's not fixed, then based on that photograph that's sent in, they would send out the ticket to the homeowner. And that would free up a lot of their time. You know, when you send in about graffiti, we have a lot of graffiti in my neighborhood. And when they have to go out and their process is when we send in a report, they have to go out and manually check that report and see what we see. Then they have to send the little process thing that says you got 30 days to get rid of this. Then they got to go back and check and make sure whether or not it was done, because then they have to send out the ticket.
Yeah.
Now that's a lot of work over something stupid like graffiti.
Right. It is.
That somebody like me, if I was trained and vetted and whatever else they do to you, could take care of it for them, because I'm out in the neighborhood, my neighborhood a lot. And a lot of, I think, neighbors, to keep their neighborhood pretty, would do the same thing, you know, safe things.
Sure.
What do you think about that idea?
I think it's a good idea. I think what it does, basically, is have more accountability for them, because checks and balances type of a thing, in a way. And I think it's a good thing, yeah.
When you send in a report, do you go back and check to see if it was done or not 30 days later?
Yes, I do. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't.
Do you send another report with a picture, and then you put the original report number on there?
I've done that many times in the past.
Okay, good. Yes. And does that get results?
Not usually. Not for me.
You know, we have to consider the where it is and what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's part of this neighborhood west of Krill Creek, which is a culvert on Royal Lane, east of west of Webb Chapel. Mm-hmm. There's a big drainage ditch.
Yes.
On the other side, you've got smaller homes.
Right.
And it's a real nice neighborhood, and people are fixing them up, but they don't have a lot of money. You know, they're working families, just like a lot of people are. Mm-hmm. But and sometimes they don't have the money to fix it.
Right.
And so it might take them a little bit longer to get around to doing it. Like, for example, Code just hit Allegheny and a channel down by Merrill up with alley repair, cleanup.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we're talking about limbs that are like the size of trees.
Wow.
They've got to get out. And a lot of brush, and, you know, how do they have the equipment to do it and haul it off? And I know those poor people can get tickets.
Well, yeah.
They're not going to understand, and B, they don't have the manpower, and C, they don't have the means.
Right, and that's true. But what do they do? I mean, if they get a ticket, they have to take care of it.
They have to pay $265 or upwards to $400-something for the city to come out and do it.
Mm, wow.
And if they don't have the money to pay it, then somehow they put a lien against
taxes,
their property.
Yeah.
Now, if they're just a renter, then it would go to the owner of the property.
Sure, sure, sure. Wow.
But that's a lot of money, $265 up to $400-something dollars.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. Especially, it probably costs that much to do whatever they needed to do anyway.
So in that case, see, they would send the warning letter. They'd go back and see it wasn't done. Then they send the ticket. And if that person doesn't take care of it, they're going to ticket them before they go do it. And it could take 3 months for them to get around and do it. So it could take 3 months to get the process completed.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see high weeds in somebody's yard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the house is vacant or something.
It could take a while, sure.
You know, that's the same process before they can go out and weed it and, you know, and mow it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. It adds up for sure.
Yeah, and I think that if there's a really bad case, if you send a letter with the report numbers to your city council's office, they will immediately turn it over to the head of that department, who'll get back and get an answer to you.
And that has happened before. That's true. That's happened before in the past, long ago.
But they're so overloaded. They need more people. They're not paid enough money. They work overtime. They're not paid overtime. And I don't care how much money they can't be paying them $100,000 a year.
No.
Whatever their salary range is, it's not enough to be overworked like they are and have so many issues to have to take care of. And sometimes they do a darn good job considering. what it is.
Yeah, you're right, and that's true. Of course, we want to hold them accountable, but we want to be fair, and that goes for them. It goes for city council. It goes for the mayor. Goes for the city manager. Everybody. But I think the fact is we are being fair. I just want to say I think we are being fair. I think that the problem is that we simply want, whether it's this issue or the other ones we've mentioned, we simply want to see results for what we're paying into the system. That's all.
And so go to your monthly, quarterly Crime Watch meetings. They should have a code representative there for your area.
Yes.
And talk to them in person, face to face. And they pass out their business cards where you can get their email and send them emails.
Yeah. That's great. That's good. And that's a good idea. If you have that information, absolutely do that. Sure.
But I do understand your frustration.
Yeah.
It's a process because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. If there was only a database that showed us that, you know, the report comes in, they open it, they act on it. 30 days later, they go back out and check, you know, and then they send out the ticket thing. And then you wait 30 days and then they charge them. And if we could ever see a program that followed that, that report through, it would be helpful. But they're never going to do that.
No, they're not. That's not going to happen.
No, we can dream.
Yes. Well, one last thing I wanted to mention before we go is that, you know, you have the, what's it called? The Rio Grande store or whatever coming in of the old menus.
Rio Grande Latin
Market.
Latin something.
Okay. Well, you know, we have, that used to be a Menards years ago, a long time ago. In like 2004 or five, I think, something like that. It was Menards. Anyway, and then Menards moved out and then something else went in there, I think. But anyway, now there's a Menards, you know, the Menards Sun Fresh store, which is located on Forest and Marsh. And a lot of people are very unhappy with the Sun Fresh market over there, especially since it's changed from Albertsons. Or what was it before? Albertsons? Yeah, I think it was Albertsons. And the problem is that, well, first of all, the man who is the manager there, which I wish I had his name in front of me. I don't have it. But he actually came to one of our West Hollow Society meetings last year to speak to people, just to let us know he was working on getting some of the issues we had mentioned taken care of. And that, I think, was October of 2015. Mm-hmm. We are now in May 2016, and none of them have really been addressed at all. One of the issues was there's like a sinkhole or something, he said, under the asphalt. There's tons and tons of holes in there and everything else. Also, the lights on the building are always out. They're still out. The awnings in the front are peeling paint. They're still peeling paint. The inside of the store is not really stocked that well, and the products that they have people don't really want or like, and the customer service kind of sucks. So, and also, I will tell you, this is what I wanted to say about this. I bought a bag of turkey jerky. You know what turkey jerky is, right? It's like beef jerky. Okay. And I bought it about two, three weeks ago. Anyway, I was there. I stopped in there. I got that. And I was going to have it as a snack. And I bit into the first piece, and it was disgusting, and it tasted like rancid meat. I turned the bag over, and the sell-by date was over 6 weeks before the day I was eating it. So, and they had it still on the shelf. And so I was like disgusted. And so I immediately called them and called the manager. I said, "Let me speak to your manager," and took the forever. Finally spoke to the manager. And the manager said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We'll remove that and tell me what the brand is, bring it back and we'll give you a refund." And now that's fine. That's great. They did the right thing. My problem is that means they're not turning over their inventory. And you know what I mean? They're not pushing the older stuff in the front and whatever. And to allow that to be there is not good. I never had that issue with Albertsons before. I never had the issue with any other market I've ever been to in my life. I've always disliked Menards, but this one I gave a chance. Now, Sun Fresh is not fresh at all. That's all I want to say. So I just wanted to be sure that you're aware that the store has not really gotten much better. It really is pretty much in the same position it was, you know, six, 8 months ago, whatever. And I want to see some improvement. So I'm going to actually send an email and also a letter to them again through West Hollow Society. On behalf of the people who've complained about it lately, and tell them we still want to see some improvements for the store if they want people to patronize it. And a lot of people are not going there. They're going to Walmart up at, you know, at wherever it is, Walmart at Midway. And they're going to, what's it called? Sprouts, which is great too, and Tom Thumb. Where do you go when you get groceries?
I go all over. Kroger's.
It just depends, whatever, yeah.
I go to Aldi's. I go to Tom Thumb for certain things.
This depends on what you're getting.
And I went to that Albertsons because they had something on sale a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, well, I'll go try it out.
The Menards, you mean? The Sun Fresh?
Frozen leg quarters.
The Sun Fresh? And they
looked horrible. And then I went to Kroger.
Are you talking about Sunfresh Market?
Yeah, I'm talking about Sunfresh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so then I went to Kroger in Irving. I had to get some prescriptions and stuff and went shopping and found beautiful bag of frozen, but they looked like they were fresh, leg quarters for cheaper.
Yeah.
And so I just wrote, and then I looked at their buy one, get one for free or mm-hmm. get two for free. Mm-hmm. They were charging like $3.79 for chicken breast or whatever the number was. It was way out of, even if it was 3-for-1 and they weren't right. even good quality to
right.
look at.
Exactly.
And in Aldi's, you know, you got to be careful with their pork chops because they have the pretty ones on top and then you get down to the bottom and they're not so, they're more bigger and they're not as pretty.
Yeah.
But I like their chickens and their, they have gourmet cheeses in there at a bit. And I love, dearly love cheese balls that are covered in almonds.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
$2.49 at Aldi's and they're $5 at Tom Thumb.
Wow, that's huge
yeah,
difference. Wow,
big difference. Wow. So,
well, yeah, and quality. That's the thing. I think quality is one of the other issues with Sunfresh is quality, and yep. unfortunately, that's what we get there. And so, I'm surprised they're still in business, but they are. But anyway, okay. So, do you have anything else you want to add before we go today?
No, I think that's it. That's all. But I enjoy talking to everybody on this program, and we're always open to questions that we can research for the listeners.
Yes, and if you want to email Toni, you can email her at
TGREENUSSAMABG@gmail.com. That's TGREENUSABG@gmail.com.
And thank you very much for being on today. And I'll talk to you next month.
You're
okay.
Welcome. Thank
Thanks.
You so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.